When I was little, my parents here in Baltimore only left Baltimore four times in the first 26 years of their marriage. Now, I was kind of a curious guy, so when I started to be more on my own, I had a lot of pent-up demand to go see the world. And when I was a student at University of Maryland back in 1974, and I met Debbie, who was to become my wife. I met her at the all-night library where I never went. And she had just come back from 6 months traveling around Central America in a van visiting Mayan ruins. And I thought, yes! In 1974, I didn't meet many 20-year-old women who were ready to do that. So for a couple years, we were good friends. And then 2 years later, I decided that I was interested in a romance. And Debbie said to me, I know immediately whether it's going to be a romance or platonic. And I said, uh-huh. And then 2 weeks later, I had her convinced that it still could be a romance. So we had a great time. We traveled. We spent lots of time together. And then I'm ready to graduate college. And I come to her one day and say, I don't know what to do. I love being with you, but I've been planning this trip to Europe. And she said, without missing a beat, she said, well, I'm coming too. So that was, that was a better answer than I could have even thought of, It was outside of what I expected it would be. So we spent 6 months, we hitchhiked around Europe, we went to Morocco. One of my favorite stories from the trip, we were in Morocco staying, in the Atlas Mountains, pretty remote area, and we're staying in an adobe hut. And I get up in the middle of the night, and there's a cow sleeping inside the house with us. And not only is the cow inside the house, but the cow is sleeping, blocking the exit from my bedroom. So I said, I know what to do. I'll just make a lot of noise, and the cow will move. Not a chance. Didn't even ruffle. And then I lean into the cow really hard and figure that's going to get her to move, and nothing doing. So back to bed and wait till the morning to do what I need to do. So we get back home, and we're trying to decide, well, what do we do now? And she says, if we shared a tent for 6 months, we're pretty compatible. So we decided we would move in together, and we moved into my brother's, and my brother had an extra single bed and one drawer and a dresser. And after living in a tent with a backpack, we thought that was pretty luxurious. that was great. So we did get married. We spent many years together. We've been to every continent other than Antarctica. One of my favorite stories is we were in Mexico. So we're in southern Mexico, and we're going to a little beach town, Puerto Angel. And the way that you get there is you fly from Mexico City down to Puerto Escondido, a little bit bigger beach town. And then you go to the edge of that town, and there are guys with pickup trucks with benches in the back of the truck. And you claim a seat, and the truck leaves when the truck is full. So this was on the truck with us. There were farmers with big bags of cornmeal, farmers with bags full of live chicken. Just like catching the MTA here. So then we get on the truck, we get to the next town, Pachutla, and then from there the only way to get to Puerto Angel is by taxi. So the taxi driver says, so where are you staying in Puerto Angel? And, being 25 years old, we haven't given that any thought. We'll just show up and everything will work out. But he said, I know just the place to take you. And he took us to a place. There was a woman from California and her Mexican husband. And after, like 30 minutes after being on the truck with the chicken, she said, and what kind of smoothie do you want me to make you? So things can change quickly. And one other story, like Debbie and I were in Thailand, and we were in some store that I was really interested in looking around, and Debbie was bored. So there's a Thai guy in a fake Buddhist monk outfit coming up who really wants to chat me up, and I keep, you know, moving on wherever he goes, but he's, you know, he's pretty tenacious about it. So finally the light bulb goes off and I say, I'm going to introduce him to my wife. And so I go over and say, you know, I don't remember what his name is. I say, and here is my wife. Now, he was pretty good in English, but he kind of missed the nuance of that, and he thought that Debbie's name was my wife. So he's going, my wife, how do you like Thailand? So we had some fun. And last year, just about at the end of June, we headed off to Eastern Europe. And Debbie and I, we mostly got along with everything that we did, but we would disagree some on travel. Like in this case, it was, I could be in Italy and you want me to go to Belarus? I don't know where she was coming from with that. But so we went to Romania, and this was Debbie's idea. We went hiking for 4 days in the mountains, and we had a Romanian guy who was our guide. And that was a lot of fun. It was really, really beautiful place. And so we had these aluminum poles that probably you guys have seen that help you walk up the steep hill sort of poles. So we're walking up the hill, and we're passing a woman, an older woman on her front porch, and she calls out in Romanian, what are they doing, going skiing? And of course, it's 100 degrees out, so we're not going skiing. Or like, at least we'll be the ones at the head of the line if we're going skiing. No, we're not going skiing. He says to her, well, they're using those to get up the mountain. And she goes, huh, they don't work the land, do they? And that was guilty as charged. She looked about 75, but she could have beaten us up the hill, you know, no doubt about it. So we came back from our Eastern Europe trip, and then the day after we got back was the first sign we had that something was wrong with Debbie, that she was speaking sluggishly. We came back July 3rd, so on July 4th last year was our first sign. And 2 days later, it was worse, and we went to the emergency room, and in the emergency room, they couldn't tell what it was, but we knew something seriously wrong was going on. She started to lose the use of her left arm. Then Debbie had a biopsy, and the neurosurgeon came back with the worst possible news, which is that she had a stage 4 glioblastoma brain tumor, which was, which was just horrific. You know, it's like everything is going wonderfully, and why is this happening? And Debbie was strong, and she fought it really hard. But 3 months later, it got her, and so. The one, I'm not a preachy person, but the one preach that I give about all this is do it now. You know, there may not be tomorrow. Okay.